Gráinne Humphreys, here we are again in the Lighthouse Cinema. Has it really been a year?
It really doesn't feel more than maybe a couple of days, doesn't it? Since everybody was there, Pat Collins, everybody was happy. Yeah. We waved people away.
But you start straight away, because even in your presentation there, you were saying, I saw this one in Cannes, I saw this one in Venice. You've been very busy, and I was delighted to hear you had the highest number of submissions ever.
That sounds lovely, and it sounds like something you'd want to celebrate until it's actually a Saturday night and you find yourself going, another three and then I'll let you go to sleep. It was a real surge of submissions. I think part of that is we did a brilliant festival last year. There's a lot of goodwill and a lot of interest, I think, in people wanting to show their films to Irish audiences. But equally, I think it's just that maybe post-strike, the kind of levels of industry, as we know here with so many films being made, there's just more films being made, which is lovely. And I will say that one of the other things that's nice is the quality is also very, very high. So we found ourselves having to have terrible long into the night kind of conversations about which one would be included and which one wouldn't. And I have to say, one of the other things is I have been asked for many years, why don't you have more funny films? So one of the criteria was, when we got to the middle of the night, was, is this funny? Is this going to actually bring a smile to a person's face? And I'm delighted to say, I think in this year's festival, we've got some.
There's a lot of that. So you whittled it down to 80, right?
85 programmes. Okay. Yes, which is probably clues about, is it 80? But yeah, 85 programmes and probably about 7 programmes of shorts.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've 10 Irish premieres, which we'll come to in a minute, but I always love seeing what you're going to open with. And we have Oscar nominee Ralph Fiennes coming to town with this one.
Absolutely, which I think I mentioned in the launch that I studied classics. So, of course, I've been reading Homer's The Odyssey for years and always thinking who would play it. And I have to say, with the dream cast of having Ralph Fiennes as Odysseus and Juliette Binoche as Penelope.
Wow.
And it is literally about that final moment when he lands back after being away for 10 years and she's battling to hang on to her status, wondering whether he'll ever arrive. And then he's somewhat embarrassed about what's been going on, and just the perfect casting, the dream team from The English Patient back together.
And somehow Ralph Fiennes is coming to town, and he's a busy man at the moment.
He is a busy man, but I will say, when we asked him, he had such a good time the last time he was here, Aideen, with The White Crow, which is the film that he directed, that he immediately said yes and said that whatever he needed to do, he would make sure that
it
happened.
Who could turn you down, Gordon?
There you go.
Let's face it. Looking through the trailer, which was very entertaining, you suddenly have Nick Cage having a moment in it. Tell me about The Surfer.
Well, The Surfer, actually, what's really funny, I went to see The Surfer in Cannes and I came out and I was buzzing. It was as if I'd had way too many coffees. I mean, it was genuinely kind of this mad, delirious kind of yuppie in peril. It's about Nick Cage playing one of his normal guys who gets incensed by a bunch of surfers who just goad him into getting agitated, Nick Cage style. But it's a great fun kind of war that erupts between them. And then I came out of the screening in Cannes and then, of course, bumped into the Irish director Lorcan Finnegan and Julian McMahon and kind of wobbled through, you know, I want to show this, can we show this? So when it became possible, it was just an absolute must have to show the film. I know that it's a cult film in the making. I know that when you're in the film, people will be saying, can I see this again? It's
wow.
That exciting.
Okay.
It's kind of intoxicating.
Interesting always to see some themes running through. You have 3 features that are about conductors.
I know. It was really funny. I was conscious we did teachers last year, so it was nice to see conductors this year. So one of them is a German film called Dying, which, despite the title and maybe the running time, is a beautiful, brilliant film that did very well at the German Awards. It's by a director called Matthias Glasner, and it's about a conductor going through, as they always are a very tricky and difficult phase in work and how that kind of spirals into their personal life. But it's gripping. Maestro, which is a documentary about the kind of final, if you like, of a women conductors competition in Paris, and all these women come from all over the world to compete, and it's brilliant. And then the final one is one I absolutely love and has had me in tears when I was watching, called The Marching Band, which is a story about kind of two brothers who find each other late in life, and unfortunately one of them gets sick. But again, just that idea, it's a bit like Brassed Off. It's kind of like a local band that gets pulled into the story, and the end will have you in tears.
Brass bands anyway have that effect.
They do have that, and they have to be deployed very cleverly. But it was just funny, and as I said, it was my colleagues kept going, not another film about a conductor, and I was going, I know, it's weird, isn't it?
Kate Blanchett, I blame her. Yeah,
it is the tar effect. It's definitely the tar effect.
There seems to be a very strong Irish documentary features thread running through this year as well. Aoife Kelleher, first up.
Testimony. Yeah, it's a very strong film. I mean, I feel like probably have a sense of, is there anything left to say about the Magdalen Laundries and the survivors of that terrible kind of period in history, which obviously I always find shocking is so recent, do you know what I mean, that it came up. But this is actually in a way about a group of women, just as they kind of galvanize, if you like, lawyers and activists together to take the case further and to turn it legal and to actually get some form of justice for those survivors. So it's as much about the dark phase as actually trying to get some kind of recognition and recompense for those women. So it's very powerful, but potentially ends on a note of hope. Okay. In that they are, you know, there's a very strong and obviously very vocal and powerful and passionate support for them.
You picked out Born That Way in your presentation too.
The thing about Born That Way, which again is that it feels like it pictures a part of Irish history that I just was, you know, I'd forgotten that I or had, you know, forgotten that I remembered it in some way. So it's about the Campile movement, about this incredible man who was a rock journalist in the US, came to Ireland, wanted to kind of try and find a different way of working with people with special needs and disabilities, and founded this Campile space that became a kind of alternate home. And again, very moving, and just a film that again has such a simple piece, which is just to focus on the kind of good deeds of a man and how they can affect change in so many people's lives. You know, it's not about special effects or endless running times. It can actually just be about finding the person.
There's a little bit of everything as well, because we have Ross Whittaker's Beat the Lotto, which looks like great.
Well, the thing about Beat the Lotto is Ross is a friend of mine, and I've been kind of listening to him talk about this and really intrigued, because it's nearly like a heist. You know, it's a bad bunch of guys come together. You know, think of taking a Pelham 1-2-3 or something. And they decided that they were going to dismantle the lotto, and they had it down. They were kind of, you know, kind of numbers guys, right? And so they worked out a formula that if they bought a certain number of tickets, that they could actually, you know, skew the actual result. And so they deploy people all over Ireland to drive in and fill out lotto slips in a particular way. And then it becomes about whether or not it's going to happen. And it turns, as I said, from a kind of heist movie in the making, to turns into a race against time to see whether or not they're actually going to, you know, mess up the system.
Coming back to some other Irish features, quite a starry cast in Four Letters of Love, and you have author Niall Williams.
It's very starry. That will be one of the starrier ones. I mean, delighted. It's a great cast. Gabriel Byrne, Pierce Brosnan, Helena Bonham Carter, Imelda May, and then the wonderful Fiona O'Shea and Anne Skelly, who are kind of the second generation. It's about star-crossed lovers and the kind of the way the stars, you know, thwart their love. So it's based on a book. I hadn't read the book, but I compared it to, and I know I make people smile about the wonderful melodramas that you used to watch in the afternoons when I was a kid, those great kind of Douglas Sirks, you know, why will they miss that train and suddenly their loved one was on it.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Wish they were still on. I wish they were still making them.
Yeah.
Thank God they are.
Okay, good to know. We always love, you know, a good red carpet now, Gordon, it has to be said. We like to meet the creators. You have quite a list of people coming. Very excited, obviously, about Jessica Lange and Ed Harris. Tell us what movie they're coming with.
They're coming with a really genuinely beautiful filmed adaptation of Eugene O'Neill's Long Day's Journey into Night, which is actually a role that Jessica Lange had done for many months on Broadway. And I think really the film probably in its first instance was a way of capturing that. And if anyone is familiar with the play, they'll know that her character is an addict, a very fragile, kind of beautiful person, character, which is exactly what Jessica Lange has been so great at for many, many years, if you think about those slightly fractured characters that she played. So it's wonderful to see that. And Ed Harris, who she's reuniting with from Sweet Dreams that she made all those years ago when she played Patsy Cline. So it's wonderful to have the two of them back. And again, they're kind of leading majestically this adaptation of Long Day's Journey into Night.
Fantastic. Anybody else of interest you want to mention who's actually going to be here?
Fun people. Twiggy, Sadie Frost,
Twiggy,
Sadie Frost coming. It's a great fun, a really great fun kind of trip down memory lane, and great material. Ilya Suleiman, the great Palestinian filmmaker, will be here. Justin Chang, who's the Pulitzer Prize winning film critic with The New Yorker, will be coming. So I kind of feel there's a kind of range of people that are coming in that you know, will add hopefully a kind of parallel series of talks or thought-provoking conversations around the festival. Melanie Miller, who's the producer of the Navalny doc that won the Oscar a couple of years back. So people like that, as I said, and we've loads of juries who are coming in as well, looking after our, the many competitions we have this year.
Now, your country of focus is Morocco, but I also wanted to mention the inaugural World Cinema Award. This is new.
It is new. The reason was I was conscious, and we've just done it. We've talked a lot about the kind of Irish films and local talent, and we've talked about the international guests. But a lot of the time, as you know, Aideen, a lot of filmmakers struggle in the first five films to get any kind of traction or visibility. So the Avalon competition was really around bringing world films that are first, second or third features into a small strand and giving them an extra kind of push and spotlight. And so some of those filmmakers will be coming. It's a great lineup. Peacock is fantastic. Santosh is another one that's really great. Pierce is a brilliant Asian film about two brothers kind of fencing heroes. So it's well worth looking at. And again, it's just an opportunity to kind of give a little bit of a lift or a platform to some of the titles that people might go, I don't know anybody in it. Or why should I go to this? And what we're basically saying is, come see the future of the kind of next generation.
A huge amount of shorts this year.
Oh my God, so many shorts. I mean, yes, we've loads. We've the NTA shorts, which is the National Talent Academy. We have Screen Ireland. We have our own shorts curated by our colleagues. But again, Aideen, I think I was saying the film student program that we have, First Frame, had over 170 short films submitted. I mean, I think everybody is doing their own film, whether it's at the weekend or at night, because it really feels like there's a great surge.
Fantastic.
It is. So our jobs are safe. Our jobs are safe for the next couple of years if this kind of energy continues.
We have a gorgeous looking closing film, Four Mothers, Niamh Flanagan in this one.
It's very sweet. I mean, I think I'm definitely at the age where I'm kind of conscious that a lot of my friends are talking about their parents and looking after them and being aware of them being on their own. And so this is a story about one guy who's basically his best friends dump him with their mothers while they go on holidays. And it's about a weekend with four mothers and what happens to him when he's the only boy, the only man of the house, and they can boss him around as much as they want. But it's heartwarming, it's funny, it's winning audience awards after audience awards. So I'm delighted that it's our closing night film, that it'll leave everybody with a smile before it goes on release.
Sounds great. Gwan Humphries, thank you so much.
Thank you.